after I did my morning prayer, as is my habit, and I always look to the news, what went on the night before, and just kind of do a quick survey, figure out, you know, what's happening in the world. But one of the things I saw was suggesting what are the 15 top small cities in the U.S. for people to move to. And I thought, wonder if I know any of these places. And one of them down on the list was Bozeman, Montana. And I had just spent 3 days there the week before visiting my son Josh. Josh, the son of Steve, not Josh, the son of none. He's been out there for about 6 years now, and a beautiful place. In that time I was there, I met some of the locals, people that had been there a long time, and they were complaining. They said, everybody's trying to move here. It's driving up the prices, property's too high, rents are going up, and the traffic is terrible. So from their perspective, it was like, you know, keep you guys out. You know, we want to keep the good that we have for ourselves. We do that sometime. When we find something that's good, it may be just, you know, the way that God is with us in our lives, it's good, you know, we want it. But sometimes we say, well, it's not enough room for everybody else. So we start to exclude others because we don't think there's enough to go around. And what we heard in some of the readings today was God's view on some of that. In the book of Numbers there, we had Moses, who was about ready to retire, ready to die. He wasn't going to live to make it into the promised land. And, he needed to start to delegate responsibility. So, you know, they came up with a plan to identify some worthy men and then call the Spirit down on them, the Spirit of God that had been dwelling with Moses. So they did that. All pretty much went according to plan, except there were two guys, Eldad and Medad, who didn't make it to the ceremony. Don't know why, you know, maybe they were on their phones reading the news, but they didn't make it there. But the Spirit came to them too. And Joshua said, oh, stop them, you know, they can't do that. And Moses took the contrary view. He said, that everyone would embrace the Spirit of God and be prophets. So Moses understood, and, you know, what we can't limit God. Our idea about who God should do something for, or what should happen in this situation, or, you know, we can't put God's views on us. You know, to God, you know, it's God and us. And they, those people we're trying to exclude, they are us. We are they. So in God's view, you know, we're all the same to Him. Good or bad, old or young, sick. I mean, we have this tremendous value to God, everyone, because He created us, and He's going to work with us every possible way, every moment of our lives to help us get where He wants us to go and where we were created to go. And we need to kind of give up on our own shutting people out and, quit putting those limitations. Now, Jesus encountered the same kind of a situation there with the guy driving out demons. And John said, stranger danger, he's using your name. And he was doing good with Jesus' name, even though they did not know who he was. And Jesus says, don't stop him. You know, what are you thinking? And, you know, when I hear those stories, I think about the need for, and I hope, our desire for Christian unity. You know, if people honestly believe that Christ is who he said he was, our Lord and Savior and our brother, and are trying to follow him, it doesn't matter what label they have, not in the big picture. I mean, I'm proud to be a Catholic. I'm fortunate and glad because I think we offer the most resources, if you will. We can't put a box around the Catholic Church and say, God inside of here and everybody else not. I mean, when I was growing up, some of the things we talked about made it sound like that. We were wrong. And you can see the Spirit today in all kinds of places. You can see a lot of places where, no matter what their label, it's hard to find the Spirit, and we got to do work there. But all kinds of places, the Spirit is moving. The Spirit, you know, blows as the Spirit will. And we need to support that. We need to recognize it. We need to affirm it. We need to join with people that are coming at it from a, you know, a different denomination, and let them know that we support them because we support Jesus and we're in this together. So, you know, I think we can do something with that if we're, you know, if we're paying attention. Now, there was a kind of another theme running through some of these readings, like in James. James was talking to his party in Jerusalem. And James was like the bishop of Jerusalem, whereas, you know, Paul went off and, you know, became, or Peter, the bishop of Rome and all. And so those were his people. He loved them. It was his church. But he was giving them a hard time. They were behaving badly. And apparently a lot of them were pretty well off. And they were loving their money and their comfort. And so he called them out on it. He wasn't trying to condemn them, but he was condemning their behavior and trying to call them back to being true disciples and the gospel. I mean, when he talks about them being rich, we're going, oh, that's Margaret Mary or that's St. Patrick's. That's not us. Well, this church, you are very rich. It may not have quite as much money, but compared to most people in the world, you know, we're filthy rich. And we're very rich in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, this parish does a lot of things that show me that you understand discipleship. But sometimes we start to give in to some of those temptations that us and them. Remember, to God, they are us. We are they. And if we, you know, if we pay attention to that, we will just accomplish more in Jesus' name than we are if we try to draw those unnatural lines. And just one more thing I want to mention. Yesterday, along with Mark Preischel, who is in the diaconate formation here, Mark and I were at an all-day diaconate conference at Margaret Mary, and the Archbishop was there near the end, and we spent an hour or more talking about the messy, unfortunate abuse crisis that, you know, has re-emerged and resurfaced. And we had two people there that are essentially closely associated with our group that had experienced abuse. One woman starting at 4 years old from a priest, the other a man starting at 7 years old, not from a priest, but, you know, the same kind of damage done to them. And so we talked a lot about their healing and what they're going through. And they're talking about 30, 40 years of trying to, you know, make sense and put that behind. And the woman's sister had died at the age of 56, terribly broken and discouraged. And she was also caught up in that abuse. And I think, you know, it's horrible. The Archbishop was clear that, you know, when this last round came out, he was embarrassed, he was angry at what some of his brothers did, and by the way of maybe saying they were trying to protect this person or that person, but actively covering up stuff so that it ended up going on more. We have to consider ourselves part of the solution to that. I mean, the Archbishop is committed and his bishop brothers to, you know, coming up with practices that absolutely will not allow any opportunity for that in the future. So they're going to try. But our vigilance and our watching out for our own children and our grandchildren and other people's children, that is so important. I mean, all kinds of families over the years, certainly I've had their little secrets, things they didn't talk about, you know, Uncle so-and-so, the, you know, institutions, whether it's you know, the schools, and I mean, all kinds of institutions had their, so it wasn't unique to the church. It was certainly, you know, we try to hold the church to a higher standard, so it was very wrong. And just like we put, the church used to support slavery, or actually, you know, have slavery. Well, we put that behind and said, we were wrong, you know, got to fix it going forward. This is one of those things we got to fix going forward. And we're all part of the solution. And we have to be sure or careful that we hate the sin, but do not condemn the sinner. We have to love the sinner. Might not have to trust them until they earn our trust back, maybe never. We don't have to trust them, but we can't condemn them. And that's hard, but with all that goes on in the world and all that Christ is calling us to, that's what he would do. And he calls us to try to do the same. As we bring all our Christian brothers and sisters together in unity for all the right purposes. So may God bless you.
And now, my dear brothers and sisters, I invite you to wholeheartedly affirm our wonderful life-giving faith. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, Lord before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, substantial with the Father, through whom all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. The kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
My dear brothers and sisters, confident now that God desires to supply our every need,